Acts chapter 2, if you would. Acts chapter 2, this being a Mission Sunday, if you don't mind me calling it that, I know you're a missions-minded church. Praise the Lord for your involvement in publishing the Scriptures. That's such a key. The missionary needs a seed. He really does. The Word is a seed. And they need that. And thank the Lord for all that you're doing in that. And for much more that you will do as you let the Lord continue to work in your heart. But Acts chapter 2, I'd like you to turn there and then put a marker in there if you would. And then go over to Mark chapter 16. So Acts chapter 2 and then Mark chapter 16. Those two places. We'll start with Mark 16. And if you'll drop down with me to verse 14, that's where I'd like to read this morning by way of introduction. So Acts chapter 2 and then Mark chapter 16. You know, when the Lord led me to get involved and help ministries as I'm doing, He did so by renewing a vision for missions that I had in my heart. A vision that I had when I started Gateway Baptist Church in East Haven, Connecticut. And He did so through these national pastors, but also through the Scriptures. You see, I believe the Scriptures is the light that I need in my life to guide me. And what I want to do this morning, I want to share with you what God shared with me and has put me into this work. But first of all, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to think about this as we go through our study this morning. And that is, what is your vision for worldwide missions? If someone's come up to you and say, what's your vision for missions? What would you tell them? What's your burden for missions? What would you tell them? What's your definition for missions? What would you tell them? Do you know that God has a vision for worldwide missions? And I want to share that with you this morning. We'll start out with Mark chapter 16. We know the chapter well. The Lord Jesus has risen from the dead. Aren't you glad we have a risen Savior? Amen. I wouldn't be here if He wasn't risen. And just to get right to the verse, go down to verse 15 with me. You know the verse well. The Lord came back to His church, and here's what He said to the church. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Father, I thank You so much for the opportunity to be here today. Thank You for getting to know people and establishing friendships. But more than that, just to be able to study the Word of God together. And Lord, I would just ask as we go through our study today that the Holy Spirit would have liberty to work in our hearts however we need it. Father, we need You. We need to hear from You. We truly do. We need the Word of God. So, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, please, according to Your will. May we be moldable, may we yield, and may we let Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I praise God I got saved through the influence of a Baptist church. I won't go into details of my salvation, but I was 19 years old. Actually, I was 18. I walked into a Baptist church for the first time in my life. And I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never heard that before. And it took me nearly a year, but at the age of 19, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And I'm so thankful for my Baptist influence. Now, I realize anyone can get saved. They don't have to be in the Baptist church to get saved. But I'm glad I was. And I'm glad for the influence that was a part of my life after I got saved. Let me give you a few reasons why I thank God I'm a Baptist. Number one, I believe from the Scripture that a true New Testament Baptist church is the church of the living God. I believe that. You know, when Paul said to Timothy, if I tarry long, that thou may know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is a church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, that is a true New Testament Baptist church. And that is Seneca Bible Baptist Church. This is a true New Testament church. Number two, our church membership is Bible doctrine. Amen? We are a company of believers brought together by the Lord through a testimony of first faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, followed by what we call believer's baptism or Bible baptism. That's what makes up the membership of this church. Amen? Number three, our church doctrine is Bible doctrine. Amen. We have the book, the Bible. This is why we do what we do. This is what we believe, Right here, this book. This book is our doctrine. I thank God for that. I think my doctrine doesn't come from the church fathers. Amen. I'm thankful it doesn't come from the Protestant Reformation there. I'm thankful it comes right from the book here. But number four, the Lord Jesus promised to reproduce His churches throughout the ages until He comes back again. That's another reason I'm glad I'm a Baptist. He promised to reproduce His churches throughout the ages until He comes back again. Over in Matthew chapter 28, you need not turn there, but the Bible says Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And then He said this, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know what that tells me? That tells me there's never been a time on this earth that the Lord's church has been absent. The Lord's churches have been in every generation and throughout the years. And praise God, His churches are found throughout the world today. Amen. Churches in India, churches in China, churches in Bangladesh, all over the world today, there can be found to be there. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, we're told that Jesus Christ is the head of the body of the church. Aren't you glad that the head of Seneca Bible Baptist Church is not some mortal, corruptible man, but the immortal, incorruptible Son of God? Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that your headquarters is not some city of this world? Aren't you glad it's not Rome? Amen? Or Nashville, Tennessee? But rather, your headquarters is a heavenly city, the very throne of God. That's where your headquarters are. And as head of His church, the Lord reproduces His churches with a command. What is that command? Go throughout the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And baptize the new believers. And add them to the church. And teach them the commandments of Christ. And reproduce churches who will go do likewise. Reproduce yourselves. You know, thank God for this church. You've been around for a long time, amen? And thank God for the good fellowship you have here. I've watched you. You know, you talk to each other. You know, you don't just come and sit and stare straight ahead like some churches. You just kind of fellowship with each other. And, you know, the pastor has said, oh, it's time to start, to get everyone to calm down, amen, and get to their seats. Praise God for the good fellowship. You need that in your life. You really do. This is your best fellowship in this room right here. And thank God for the good teaching you get. You need that in your life. But brethren, never replace fellowship for the purpose of this church. The purpose of this church is to go throughout the world and preach the gospel to every creature and baptize the new believers and add them to the church and teach them the commandments of Christ and reproduce churches who will go do likewise. You know, for the most part, we Baptist churches have had a vision to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We endeavor to evangelize our community and call our God-sent missionaries out of our churches throughout the world. I've been involved in missions for over 42 years, and I've had a motto. Missions is the heartbeat of the church because it's the heartbeat of God. I like that sign I've seen in some churches. You're now entering the mission field. It's right outside these doors here. You don't have to go to another country to be in the mission field. It's right out there. It's your next door. It's right where you're living right now. And praise God for that. And for the most part, we've reached into the world. And praise God for the great mission endeavors of His churches in America. Many times, and I bring these nationals into the pulpit, they'll give testimony of an American missionary that came to their nation. Sometimes he came and reached the grandfather. Or sometimes it's the father, or sometimes it's the person himself behind the pulpit. And he thanks God for the American missionaries and what they have accomplished throughout the world. But brethren, I've got some bad news for you. And I hope before we get done it'll be good news. But the bad news is simply this. We're losing ground. We're losing ground. The population has increased to 7.6 billion people. And there's over 3 billion people that have never heard the gospel just once. Over 3 billion. That's nearly half of the population. How can this be in this great age of technology and mass communication? 57% of world languages today are still in need of a completed Bible translation. Over 3,000 spoken languages have not even a portion of God's Word in their language. There's a famine of men in our churches throughout America today surrendering to the mission field. It's not like it used to be. The United States, once the leading nation for sending multitude of missionaries around the world, has now become a mission field with missionaries from other nations coming to this nation. I just got done not too long ago preaching a missions conference to Bible Baptist Church of Jackson Heights, New York, down in New York City. And a Filipino pastor's at church. He came from the Philippines, and he started that church in New York. I've been to the airport over the years to pick up speakers, and I've met missionaries coming in from Japan. I've met missionaries coming in from Korea. I've met missionaries coming in from the Philippines. Out of every two American missionaries going to the mission field and the regions beyond our shore, one comes back within 2 years. That's a sad statistic. And more nations are becoming hostile towards our nation, making it difficult for the American missionary to go there, and some are even closing their doors to the American missionary. We're losing ground. But why are we losing ground? Why is that taking place? Well, I don't think it's because of 7.6 billion people. Listen, nothing's too hard for the Lord. Amen? And if He commands the gospel to be taken throughout the world to every person, it can be done. Amen? It's not the population size that's the problem. I don't think it's because of a lack of God-called missionaries out of our church, though we do have that famine. But I don't think that's the problem. I don't even believe it's because of a lack of resources or a lack of money or the economy. Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Listen, there's enough resources in this world to reach every generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not the problem, my brethren. Rather, I'll be the problem. This is in Mark 16, verse 15. If you'll turn back there and look at that verse one more time with me. And notice what the Lord said here. And be very careful to listen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, those last three words are the reason that we're losing ground. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's your answer. There's your answer. You see, we've limited the Lord's command to take the gospel throughout the world instead of every person throughout the world. We have a burden to reach the world with the gospel, but not every person throughout the world. We preach to reach the world with the gospel, but not every person throughout the world. We labor to reach the world with the gospel, but not every person throughout the world. And that's why there's 3 billion plus people who've never heard the gospel. That's why there's over 3,000 languages, so not even John 3:16 in the language. We have a passion for the world to receive the gospel, but not every person to receive the gospel. Let me ask you something. Add this to the question I asked you earlier. When you think of worldwide missions, are you burdened for every person to receive the gospel? Or for just the world to receive the gospel. You know, when I moved to East Haven, Connecticut and started that church, I was determined to get the gospel in every house. Every house. That was my heartbeat. Every person. Every person. But somewhere I lost that vision and I settled for just the world. And I dare say in this room this morning, though you love missions and though you want people to be saved, I dare say there's probably some in this room, you have a world vision and praise God, but it's not enough. You need to have an every person throughout the world. Every person throughout the world. So I ask you again, what's your vision for worldwide missions? Is it the world? Or every person throughout the world? What is it? There's a difference. Do you see it this morning? I'll tell you what, if you have every person a vision, when you go out that door, when you pass people, you'll wonder, boy, do they know the Lord? You'd be more apt to give a track if every person is your vision instead of just the world. You'd be more concerned for people if every person is your vision instead of just the world. Amen. We need to have an every person vision because it's the command of God going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Oh, listen, there is a greater burden and a greater urgency and a greater labor for the work when every person is our vision instead of just the world. And how do we know that? I'll tell you how we know that. Because the early churches in the book of Acts had a command and a vision to take the gospel to every person, and they did it. You realize that? Back in the book of Acts, they did it. I want to show that to you quickly this morning. Amen? Go to Acts chapter 2 with me. Acts chapter 2, it's the day of Pentecost. Jews from all around the world are gathered in Jerusalem to observe the Feast of Pentecost. That's observing the giving of the law of Moses. They brought their first fruits in from their harvest. It was a great feast day, and a great day in Jerusalem. And you know the chapter, the Holy Spirit came upon the church to do the work of God. And the 120 were speaking of the wonderful works of God in the different languages from where the Jews came from. Now, I want you to look at Acts chapter 2 with me. Just drop down to verse 5, and notice what it says. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, because of that feast, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now I want to ask you something, and I won't take long with this, but do you believe God means what He says? You think there's another meaning there, or does He mean what He said? Out of every nation under heaven. The power of the Holy Spirit fell in the church through the work of the Lord. They were praising God with the wonderful works of God through the different languages where these men had come from, these people, Jews, had come from. There's at least a 3,000 crowd there, probably more. And then Peter stood up and preached the gospel. Drop down to verse 41 with me. Notice what it says here. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. You know what it means when it says they gladly received this word? They got saved. Let me ask you something. Were you sad when you got saved? Or were you glad when you got saved? You might have shed some tears, but they weren't tears of sorrow. They were tears of gladness. Amen? And then they got baptized. And the same day they're added unto them, which is the Lord's church, verse 47, about 3,000 souls. Imagine that, my friend. 3,000 people, pastor, got saved that day and baptized and added to the church. Wow! From 120 to 3,000, what a jump! Amen. But here's my question. Where'd they come from? Where'd they come from? According to verse 5, from every nation under heaven. Not residents of Jerusalem, but rather, I have a name for them. I call them nationals. Because they came from other nations. And look at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, we know the apostles were the first pastors of that church, and so they were preaching and teaching the Word of God to the church. I wonder what they taught them. Well, Jesus said, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He also said, go into all the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, I think He taught them that, don't you? I think He taught them the Great Commission. I think He said, go. They taught them that they need to go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, with that in mind, drop over to Acts chapter 8. I know I'm moving fast here. But Acts chapter 8. And in chapter 7, we have the stoning of the deacon Stephen through Saul's permission, by the way. Remember Saul, that young man? And they laid the coats at Saul's feet, which said that he gave his approval for Stephen to be stoned. And Saul was a mean man. Amen. He hated the church. He hated those that believed in Jesus Christ. And he was determined to stamp them out. And look at verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They went everywhere, not just somewhere. Man, they just took off, and wherever they went, they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know why they did that, folks? Because they were taught, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, they had an every creature vision. Let me tell you something. When you get every creature vision, wherever you go, you want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then if you look at, here's my question. Who were these that went everywhere preaching the gospel? Well, I suspect some were residents of Jerusalem, but the church is still there, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here's what I think they were. I think the majority of them were the nationals who went back to their nation and the regions beyond with a command and a vision to preach the gospel to every person. And they reproduced churches who went throughout their nation and the regions beyond with a command and a vision to preach the gospel to every creature. And they went, and they reproduced churches and went throughout their nation with a command and a vision that preached the gospel to every creature. And they went throughout their nation and the regions beyond with a command and a vision that preached the gospel to every creature. And go over to Acts chapter 9 and let me show you the result of that vision. Let me show you what happened. Acts chapter 9. That's a great chapter where Saul gets saved. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. No man's too hard to get saved. Amen? And but notice the result of their obedience. Right after Saul got saved, it says this, then had the churches. Oh, we went from a church, now we got churches. But it gets better. Had rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. Wow. It started out in Jerusalem. Now they're throughout the whole regions. And Galilee, Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea. But it gets better. And walking in the fear of the Lord. And in other words, they followed the Lord. And in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Here's what you see. Churches were multiplied with that command. Churches were multiplied with that vision. But where did these churches come from? Nationals. who went back to their nation and the regions beyond with a command and a vision that preached the gospel to every creature. And they reproduced churches who went throughout their nation and the regions beyond with a command and a vision that preached the gospel to every creature, and churches were multiplied. You understand that? It's not just one at a time, but many at a time. They were just being multiplied all over the world. They were being multiplied. And brethren, if we're going to reach 7 billion plus people with the gospel of Christ, we must multiply our churches who have a vision to take the gospel to every person. That's God's plan. He has no other plan, brethren. There is no plan B, just plan A. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But quickly, I'll go over to Acts chapter 19, and let's just look at the great missionary Paul. Now remember, back in what we just got done looking here, he just got saved, Acts 9. But in Acts 19, he's doing a mission work. And drop down to verse 10 with me. Acts 19, verse 10. And here's what it says. And this continued by the space of 2 years. In other words, Paul was in Ephesus for 2 years. Okay, the city of Ephesus. And then let's read the rest. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now, did you get that? Not some of them. Not most of them. The word of God says all of them in Asia heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just to make sure you get the message, God put on there both Jews and Greeks. You know the Jew is? He's a non-Greek. You know what Greek is? Non-Jew. That's everyone. And you realize what God is saying there? Everyone throughout Asia. Now, if you look at the province of Asia back in Paul's day, that's a lot of territory. How is it possible that every person received the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'll tell you how. Paul established churches and taught them the command, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they had an every creature vision. And they reproduced churches with an every creature vision. But let me show you one more. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. I came across this one day reading. I almost came out of my seat. The Church of Thessalonica was started on Paul's second missionary journey. He's writing this letter to them. And just for the sake of time, drop down to verse 6. He said, "You became," the 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, "and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sound out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia," which is where Thessalonica was located, "and Achaia," that bordered Macedonia, "but also," now watch this, "in every place, your faith to God are to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." Are you understanding what he's saying there? Oh, amen. He is saying, listen, I have gone where you've already been. And you've done such a thorough job, I don't have to say anything. But he did, I guarantee you. Because he says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. But the point is this. They saturated the area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How did they do that? I'll tell you how they did it. They had an every creature vision. They had an every creature vision. Paul taught the Lord's command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and reproduce churches that will go do likewise. And then go over to Colossians chapter 1 and let's see what they accomplished back then. Colossians chapter 1. Drop down to verse 23 with me. I'm just going to read it to you. It'll speak for itself. Colossians 1 verse 23. Paul is writing to the church of Colossae that he had a part in organizing. He said, if ye continue in the faith, Colossians 1 verse 23, if ye continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Can I ask you folks, does God mean what he says? Is there some hidden meaning behind those words? No. By the authority of the word of God, we are told back in the book of Acts, every person throughout the world heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every person. You know, some say every creature is just another way of referring to the world. It doesn't literally mean every person. You know, if that's so, then why did the Lord say go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Others say, well, you need to understand that every creature just refers to the known world of that day and not the whole world itself. I mean, that's impossible. Oh? Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You know, I'm just going to believe what God says. And I'll tell you why that was accomplished. Because they reproduced churches with a command and a vision to take the gospel to every creature. And brethren, if we're going to reach every person with the gospel of Jesus Christ, in this generation, that God will use His churches all around the world. I have to say this. God never called America to reach the world. He called His churches to reach the world. And they're all through the world today, praise the Lord. That includes the nationals. And we Baptist churches who live in the richest nation of the world need to have a every creature vision and financial support, not only our American missionaries, amen, but also third world national pastors that God will bring our way. We need to get behind them. Amen. You know, brethren, I won't belabor this point, but we are so well off in America. Amen. Oh, preacher, you don't know my finances. I don't need to know your finances. I just know you live in America. Just visit some of these third world nations and see what they have to endure and go through. They just struggle to get food on the table many a times. And they don't have the medicine we have. Brethren, we're blessed. And listen, God's churches are blessed. And listen, you are a church living God today because God desires every person to hear the gospel of Christ. And He has blessed you with riches. Now, I'm going to kind of give my thoughts on this. I'm not going to say it's Bible. But, listen, we're not seeing the missionaries like we used to. We're seeing them. You know what I'm talking about, brother. Right. Our young people just aren't surrendering like they used to. Right. You know, we've gotten convinced that they need to be lawyers and doctors and all that money-making stuff instead of being servants of Christ and God, right. What would you have me to do? But anyways, we're not seeing that. But I tell you what we are seeing in our churches. We're seeing wealth. Now, preacher, you don't know, like, I don't need to know your finances. Whether you believe it or not, you're well off. You don't know my bills. No, I don't. I don't need to. And brethren, we have, I believe one of the reasons God's churches in America are so well off is because we can get involved, not just our American missionaries, but missionaries around the world with financial support and see churches multiplied. And one day here, every creature has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm convinced of that. I don't know how long it's going to last, brother. Oh, we're living in such a delicate world. It's so fragile. I don't know how long it's going to last. But we are very well off today. And I think we churches with purpose, God has done well for you that you might take and support and get the gospel throughout the world. Not just our American missionaries, but also our national missionaries. These independent Baptist pastors and missionaries of the third world nations are just like us. They are. They got the same God, same Savior, same Comforter, amen? Same body of believers, same type of church, same membership, same type of membership, same type of doctrine. They're just like us. And they're multiplying their churches, multiplying them. 7.6 billion people. How can we reach every person with the gospel? Number one, think with God all things are possible. Let's get God's mind on this. Right. Let's not use our... hey, we're limited. Yeah, right. Hey, listen. They didn't have conferences back in the book of Acts to try to figure out how to reach the world. They just had a command and a vision, and they went out and did it, and God directed them, and every person heard the gospel. Amen. Have a vision for every person to receive the gospel. Pray for every person to receive the gospel. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers to the harvest. By the grace of God, go share the gospel around you with an every creature vision. Reproduce churches who will go do likewise. Use the technology of the day to get the gospel to every person. And guard your every person vision. Because it's easy to lose in the good old USA. Easy to lose. Really is. I have to work to keep it. I really do. I have to recommit. I have to recommit again and again to the every creature vision. It's so easy to lose it. Even me, who has no money anymore. Notice I said that? I said that for you. No, I'm just joking. God's good. He's taking very good care of me. But I'll tell you what. I can get distracted in what I'm doing. Because I live in the United States. I was 2 years ago coming up to Delhi Bible Baptist Church to speak at a Seedline conference. And I got up to Kanjahari, and I got behind this Amish buggy. I forgot all about the Amish people. I forgot that they existed. They're not down in Georgia. And you know, there's a law that they can have their half of the road. It's just like a car. Amen? And so I'm trying to get by this Amish buggy. And, you know, I don't know, brethren, I just get more impatient with age. And I'm trying to get by that. Finally, I get by that buggy. I'm so thankful. And I think, oh, I'm so glad I'm not Amish. I never get to where I have to get to. And then God pressed my heart. He didn't speak to me audibly. But here's what he impressed me with. You ready for this? John, back in the days of the book of Acts, some had a horse, but many did not. Some had a horse and buggy, but many did not. But everyone had 2 feet. And they had a Savior who saved them and gave them a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they had a vision to do it. And it was just 2 feet and a few horses and a few buggies and, by the way, some boats. They reached every person with the gospel of Christ. Brethren, if they could do that back then, what's our excuse today? I think our excuse is we just don't have God's vision. And I want to challenge you this morning in closing. Would you take God's vision? I don't believe everyone of us had it when we came in here. Maybe some of you did. I don't think all of us did. Would you leave today saying, Lord, I want your vision to be my vision. I want every creature vision starting right outside these doors. I want to be concerned about every person receiving the gospel. Use me, Lord! And just let God use you. Just make yourself available. He'll do the rest. If you just make yourself available. Father, thank you so much for our study this morning. Oh, dear Father, I am so thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. And Father, I'm thankful there's none other name under heaven whereby